Colossians chapter 3, let's pick a reading. Let's see here. Absolutely. There's so much here. Let's read begin reading in verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your Christ is hid, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth for fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. That word inordinate means irregular, disorderly, excessive, immoderate. So, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake, notice the word things there, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So that's what we're supposed to put off. Here's some things to put on. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to stand again for you. And I pray and ask and stand in this pulpit, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Island Ford and what it's meant to me through the years, and allow me to be a part of it and molding me to what I am now currently. And Lord, sending me out from this church to Oklahoma, and Lord, the influences of the church and the people here that I've taken with me. Pray and ask that you'll help me to focus my mind upon the message and the thoughts and the scriptures that you've given me, and to put aside the things that are also there to weigh upon my mind, but Lord, to focus upon you. And I pray that you will anoint me, give me utterance and boldness in the word today. I pray the Spirit of God would take the word and open the eyes and the understanding, the ears to hear for those that's in the auditorium today and for those by way of radio. And I ask and pray that you'll do an everlasting work in hearts. And we ask and pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen and amen. You can be seated. All right, so I may have some of my people. I'm sorry. Thought I turned it on. May have some of my people listening. Most of my people went to Brother Josh Shepherd's church for Fifth Sunday today, and I know two families that stayed behind. I gave them the option because we just closed their church for this morning. We put a sign on the door that said, "We're not here this week. Come back next week." Kind of, sort of. So gave them the option. I said they could go attend one of the local churches there. Some people we fellowship there locally, or they could tune in to WSOF.org and hear their pastor preach. So I don't know. I'll find out when I get back which one they did, but I may have some of my people listening as well. I know we read a lot here, and of course we wind up there at the end mentioning charity, but here in verse number 2 is where my text, I guess, my original thought here, we're going to be speaking about, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And we mentioned the other night, of course, after I preached on Friday night throughout the day yesterday, and then even Friday night after the message, there was some of the comments about getting in tune, and they said that that Logan was kind of cringing every time I turned the knob. I wasn't paying attention, but anyway, about getting in tune with Him and some of those areas in our life. We had a list there in Romans 5. We could have went to Ephesians. I didn't go to Ephesians the other night. We could have went to Ephesians. There's a lot of other things that we get out of tune in our lives, a lot of other strings, if you want to put it that way, and the tension and the tribulation that God uses to tune us up. Yeah. You know, sometimes when we get out of the source and out of the will of God, God will send that tribulation, send that to... You think of Job. Job hadn't sinned. But God put some things on him to be an example to us. And really, God did work in his life. And the end of Job was greater than the beginning. We read at the end of Job's life. But God put some things, and God used him and has used him throughout the centuries to be the example, as it was canonized in our scriptures, and the story of Job and the example of Job, and we've preached out of Job a whole lot. And so God uses the tribulations to get us back in tune. I was seeing Brother Duncan in there with his camera, taking some pictures there in the studio. Kind of mentioned it last night. As far as the title, you know, like Brother Hall and others have said from here, you know, title's kind of cute. Title's like a pig's tail. It's kind of cute, but it doesn't give any substance to the sermon. Any substance to the ham. All right, but it's kind of cute. But you know, sometimes I title it. Sometimes we just put the scripture on there. But I was thinking about a title for my message this morning, and the focus of our affection. The focus of our affection. As I noticed him moving around with this camera, I've shot, you know, some photographs. He showed me, a photograph that he took there of the, and even this morning he's showing Brother Shepherd, that he took of some stems of the old dried up dying lily pads there in Loch Mary as he goes to his house. And of course now we got these smart cameras. Sometimes they're too smart because you want your focus, you know, you being the photographer, you want your focus to be on a certain subject, but it has a tendency, you see the little squares that some of these smart cameras pull up, you see the focus actually choosing a different subject that you don't really want to focus on. So you flip it over into the manual mode. And then you can manually focus on the subject that you want. And there's a whole lot of, you see all that. In fact, I was looking around here. You know, I know there's been people married since I've been here last time. There's been babies born since I've been here last time. And I was going to joke around the other night that, you know, I've been gone 4 years and I come back and, you know, everybody's older and grayer. And I don't know what's happened to you guys. But couples being married and hear of all that, and I was sitting there thinking of the Lord while he was standing here praying over the altar, offering that he's standing here praying over the altar.
Amen, amen.
What a blessing to see these young people grow up and take part in all the things around here. And I want to appreciate, you know, I can just go on the things that I've noticed since I've been back, just watching people and seeing where they're at these days.
Amen.
But going back to our focus, you know, it says here in verse number 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And we get, and I want to draw our attention to the word affection. Where is our affection focused?
Amen.
I was sitting there just a moment ago and thought about John 3:16.
Yeah.
I mean, we quote it all the time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oftentimes when we quote that, when we preach from that, when we teach from that, we hone in on the sacrifice of the Son. We hone in on the belief of the sinner. But the original subject and verb in that verse is "for God loved."
Amen.
He loved us first.
Amen. That's right.
And then I had to run back to my reference there. You know, in Deuteronomy, talking to the children of Israel, Deuteronomy 7, verse 6, "For thou art an holy people," talking again about the children of Israel, "for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor chose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the land of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh the king." It says, "Know ye therefore," what's the therefore there for? It goes back to God's love for us.
Right.
God's love for the people of Israel, and we can say the same thing, God's love for us.
Amen.
We've heard Brother Hall mention that scripture and say he loved them just because he loved them.
Right.
He loves you. And Brother Shepherd already pointed out, you know who you were.
That's right, amen.
I know who I was.
Right.
But God, woo,
amen,
who is rich in mercy.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You look at yourself and you look, you look at yourself and say, "Why, God, did you pass by my way that day?
Amen.
Why, God, did you shut your affection upon me that day?"
Yep.
"Know ye therefore," because of the love of God, because he has shown, and this is talking to the children of Israel in this context, because God has shown the love toward the children of Israel and have made them a people and have kept his covenant with their fathers and have delivered them. He's given them an admonition here. "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God."
Yes, he is.
"The faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him."
Amen.
So it goes back the other way.
Yep.
"And keepeth his commandments," that's talking about the person keeping its commandments, "to 1,000 generations. And repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them." So because the love of God was shed abroad to them, then they were to return that love back to God.
Amen.
So with that mindset, set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. Where's your focus? Where is the focus of your affection? When you look at the frame through your camera, you know, I was getting that when I got sidetracked about these couples in here, and I hear there's going to be a wedding. There's going to be a wedding. Yeah, pretty soon. But, you know, I know Rebecca and Jacob, he was in for a visit, and they matched clothes, and they were out here in the field, and Elizabeth's taking pictures of them, and they're looking at each other all googly-eyed and all that mess. Anyway. But you see some photographs like that, and so they'll purposely blur out the couple in the background and focus in on, you know, something in the front. wedding pictures, you focus, you know, the focus in on the rings on the Bible or whatever, but you blur out the couple, or vice versa. You see some photographs, some family photographs where you got mom and dad here in the background, kids in the front foreground, and they'll blur out the kids in the foreground and focus in on mom and dad, and then they'll change their focus on that photograph. And that's kind of so we understand that mentality of focus, but let's apply this to this verse here in verse number 2. Set your affection, the focus of your affection. Set your affection on things above. The Bible tells us to lay up our treasures in heaven. Is that above? Yes, it is. You know, oftentimes we get to looking at things down here and often, you know, the things around us and we get just so caught up in. Yeah, and I have the big family. You know that. And Brother Mark asked me how many, when I carried Ezra over there, how many was that? I said, that's number 14, and I got 15 and 16 on the way one time. Amen. And then all the ones that have been miscarried and so on and so forth in the last year, we could have really been way on up there if the Lord had chose that way. But I can get so caught up in my family growing as I was raising my 7. I can get so caught up in my extended family. I can get so caught up in my secular job there on the base. I can get so caught up even as a pastor in the ministry. To where my focus is not above. And even though all those things, being a husband to my wife, a proper husband to my wife, a proper father to my children, a proper grandfather to my grandchildren, a proper servant, if you want to use that, at work, falling under my supervisors and my secular job, it's all in the scriptures. All those things are right and right to do. But it's all because of the therefore. What? We're keeping the commandments. We're expressing our love back unto God because of His love for us.
Amen.
For God so loved. That's the subject and the verb in that sentence. But it goes back to God's love that He gave for a reason. That whosoever believeth in Him should not be. So the focus of our love, and again, getting refocused, getting re-in tune, why are you doing the things that you do? Is it out of a love for? And it's right to have an affection for your spouse. It's right to have an affection for that special person before they become your spouse. It's right to have an affection for your children and your grandchildren, or your church, your pastor, your radio station. It's right.
Yes.
But the reason that you love your spouse should be not because of an earthly affection, a natural affection, although natural affection is in there, but it should be the focus of God giving you that affection for your spouse. If we focus on God and our love for Him and His love for us, then that relationship will be what it's supposed to be.
Right.
If we focus on God and that love that we should have for Him and His love that He has for us, our children, we will raise our children in the care and admonition of God.
Right.
Not the pastor's instruction.
Right.
As he mentioned, the word's instruction, and that's God's word, but who ultimately is the one that gave us the word, gave us the instruction for our home, gave us the instruction for our children?
Amen.
God.
Right.
Why? Because He loves us.
Amen.
And then in salvation, in our daily walk, and how that God, again, if we are right with our affection, and if we are right in our focus, and if we focus on the things above, then all these other things will fall into place. Matthew 6:33. Some of you know that that's my favorite verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. But we get so out of focus because of, you know, and I think, I don't know, it's a test maybe. The Lord knew what I was going to be preaching today. That right as Brother Matthew is coming to the podium, I'm getting a phone call from up here at the Veterans Center that my dad had a seizure this morning, like he had here a while back. This is just the second time, you know. But I can get up here and preach knowing that God's in control.
Yes, right.
And if the day is the day that He crosses over, God's in control.
Yes, man.
And I can be thankful. He said, what? This, and I've shared this before too, I think maybe here when my mom passed away, which is seven. We buried her 7 years ago tomorrow, day after tomorrow, 7 years ago on Halloween, on the 31st. My sister has brought up all the different things going into that recently. And as I was going through that myself in my way, when that happened, I've seen this passage of scripture here. Where is that? Peace. There we go. Be careful for nothing. Philippians 4:6. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. The scripture that I was reading that day, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I needed peace during that time.
Yes.
It was a troubling time.
Yep.
Like any time that someone passes away, or some of those troubles and those tribulations that come in our way. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But that comes after, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So I was looking for peace. But I had to pray. And I had to be thankful. And I was like, how can I be thankful with my mother passing away? I could be thankful for the love that she showed me. I could be thankful. I remember when Brother Hall, one time when Brother Hall was visiting his mom, right before she passed away, he thanked her for changing his diapers. He thanked her for bathing him. He thanked her for all the things that she did for him through the years. And I could be thankful for all those things.
That's right.
I could be thankful for the memories that I had.
Right.
And then in being thankful to God, there's my focus, then the peace of God come back the other way.
Yes.
So, the affection. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. I couldn't help but see, because of the word things, and I mentioned the word thing. We're also familiar with 1 John 2:15. Love not the world,
right,
neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Plain and simple.
Right.
We know preachers. I've sat right there where Philip sat for years and years and years. Heard preachers around this pulpit, and they're right in their preaching. But the focus a lot of times of the preachers that I've heard preach out of that text of Scripture has been on the things. But what is the primary subject or the verb, the action, is our love. Love, not the world. And again, we can get so out of focus on our love of God that we start loving the world and the things that are in the world. He's got my phone in case they call. But the radio, we talked about the war of the worlds and radio and how the IDs come about and how radio at one time was new technology. And there was preachers back then when radio come out that, it was just like the internet when it first come out. The preachers preached against those things of the world. Because the focus was on the things, again, not on the love of those things. And we have things, you know, it was preached and it's been preached and still focused in out some time to time on the, still played on the preacher's hour. But back in the late 70s, if you wore wire-rim glasses, you were being like the hippie movement, like John Lennon with them round glasses. And I got round glasses, round wire-rim glasses. Am I a Beatle? No. Just because I got round wire-rim glasses? No. It's a thing of the world that the world uses that I use.
Right.
Radio is a thing of the world. It's an invention by man that has been used and can be used by the world and for the world.
Yep.
But we know here, especially in this ministry, that it can be used for God.
Amen.
But again, it goes back to the focus. Where is a focus put on? Where is love, not the world? I'm in the world as a child of God, but I'm not of the world. The admonition to be in the world, but not of the world. I'm in the world, so I'm not to love the world, nor the things of the world. I have to have a house just like the lost man does. But I can focus my affection on my house. And the word pride come up. Brother Shepherd was real quick. That's, you know, it's not a good thing. I preached June the 1st, beginning of Pride Month, or the first Sunday in June on pride.
Yeah.
And my kids know that I don't like that word.
Right.
And my children have experienced some things and have excelled in some areas, there we go, that I am, and I had to find my word. Because I don't want to use the word pride or proud. Because I know what God says about pride. May God help me on that. It pleased the Father. It pleased God to bruise the Son. It pleased Him in Isaiah. It pleased the Father. What pleased the Father? The obedience of the Son. So that's my word now. So when my children do something positive in life, I don't say, "Son, I'm proud of you. Daughter, honey, you know, sister, honey, sweetie, whatever you call your daughter." I won't go there. "I'm proud of you." No. "I'm pleased at your accomplishment."
Amen.
"I'm pleased that God allowed you to accomplish this." Again, focus. Where's the focus? If we do it that way, that God allowed you to do this. Elizabeth and her parents signed a contract. And we started out with, "I, Elizabeth, then Baal, by the grace of God, promise
to keep myself pure to the altar. And we've entered in a contract with all three of my children. And by the grace of God, it was the grace of God that each of my daughters, unless they're lying to me, but they'll stand before God if they are, but it was the grace of God that kept them, that allowed them to have the stamina to keep themselves pure to where when we got down here at the altar, they took off their purity ring, which is where their wedding band was getting ready to go, and they put their wedding band in its place. And they gave, each of them gave me their purity ring, standing before God and all the witnesses, and said, I kept myself pure. But again, that was a covenant, and it was by the grace of God, and I can say I am pleased in that accomplishment. I am pleased that they did that, they kept their promise. But I could say I'm proud. No, that would be wrong on my part. That would be a misfocus, because then I'd be focused on their strength, on their ability. And I don't like to use my family necessarily, especially in this church, but I'm pleased. Our affection should be on things above.
Amen.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The focus is the love of the Father.
Amen.
And not the love of the world.
Yep.
The love of the Father and not the love of the things of the world. Amen. You can use those things. You can have those things. You can have nice houses.
Right.
You can have nice cars. I'm not... Hallelujah. I'm supposed to rejoice with them that rejoice, right?
Right.
Yeah. The Lord, have you been to my house?
Yes.
Yeah. The Lord just, I mean, I can testify that. The Lord absolutely, it's not of me. It is not of me. And He's given me a nice place.
Amen.
2 acres that's not skinny and long, which is, like next to, right behind the church.
Yep. Amen.
And it's all of God. And I can testify in the way that He gave us our building since I've been out there. It was all of God. You've seen God. And I testify of it often in both ways, but I try to give God the glory because that's where it's coming from.
Right. Yes,
but I can say, I got a good job down on Tinker Air Force Base. And I making this amount of money, and I did this, and I... Wait a minute. That would be wrong, because my focus wouldn't be right. My focus would be on what I did, and what, you know, the good job that Tinker Air Force Base has to offer, and all the money, whatever. I can focus that way, or I can say God. And literally, God gave me that job. It's amazing. I got out of the Air Force... When God called me to preach, saying I couldn't be enlisted and be a preacher in my mind. And when I was in the Air Force, before I moved to Kentucky, I taught the gas mask. 31 years later, they called me as their pastor. I move. I go out there. I drive in on the 14th day of September. I stood in the pulpit as their pastor for the first time on the 15th day of September. And on the 16th day of September, when this particular job closed on the job listing, I went to the library and applied for this job, which I'd found out just the week prior. The following Monday, they called for an interview on Wednesday. I went for the interview on Wednesday, and they're like, it wasn't an interview, it was like, if I offer you the job, will you take it? And I'm like, pfft. And I had a man in my church that said, wouldn't it be something if the first job you applied for out here, you got?
Yeah.
But he didn't know my God, that experience.
Amen.
I had already experienced. I knew what God could do for me.
Amen.
And he did.
Yeah.
The first job. He had it. And guess what I'm doing? Teaching the gas mask.
Amen.
When I said I can't teach the gas mask of the Air Force and be a preacher. Now I'm a pastor teaching the gas mask of the Air Force. Ain't that something? 31 years later. That's the way God works.
Right.
He did that, and I give Him the glory for my job. I give Him the glory for our church building. I give Him the glory for my... But again, I could get unfocused.
Yep.
I could take the credit to me. I could take the credit to my ability. And I don't want to do that.
Amen.
And there's other passages of Scripture. So affection, I want to say this, is a bent. Webster's 1820. A bent of mind towards a particular object, holding a middle place between disposition. In other words, which direction that you want to go. So it's holding a middle place between which is natural and passion. I'm talking about affection. So it is a bent of mind toward a particular object, holding a middle place between disposition, which is natural, and passion, which is excited by the presence of the exciting object. Affection is a permanent bent of mind formed by the presence of an object or by some act of another person and existing without the presence of the object. The love of money is the root of all evil.
Yes,
sir. I can be poor as Job's turkey and love money.
That's right.
And be passionate about it when I get my tax refund check. Woo, I'm rich now.
Amen.
If you all understood what the tax refund was about, that means you have overpaid the government. You've just been giving them extra money. And they've been hanging on to it and give it back to you at the end of the year.
Yep.
So it's not really, you see what I'm saying? And that's the way it's supposed to, it's for all the credits and things. But I'm saying just your regular tax refund. Everybody thinks they're rich, but they're rich for about, I don't know, I can go to Walmart and spend my tax refund like that. But they're rich. Because they love money. Their affection is toward money.
Right.
And the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yes, sir.
But my God can supply all my needs according to my riches in glory. Where's my affection now? To be content, to be having our clothes.
Right.
Paul writing.
Right.
To be clothed and fed and to be content with that.
Amen.
The suit that I had on Friday night, that was, rewind. This suit was purchased for me by my church.
Amen.
The suit I had on Friday night, nice suit. It's a yard sale suit, praise God.
Amen.
So, whichever way it comes, whether it's one given to me and bought me by my church, or I spend $20 at a yard sale on a suit, or there's some suit jackets out there in the foyer that come this way, and I can wear some of them.
Amen.
So they're my size.
Amen.
But where I give thanks to, I give thanks to God for providing, yes.
Amen.
And understand that He provided, and to be content with this, to be content with a yard sale suit, to be content with a suit that somebody's outgrown or whatever, got rid of. And just plain giving away to be content. I don't have to go to Macy's.
Right.
I don't have to go to Dillard's.
Right.
You know, and get the latest fashion at the late, you know, I mean, this is what, so we're going into the winter, so you got the winter fashion, and then halfway through we go to spring fashion. I have to be fashionable. I bought a pair of shoes that I wore out. I bought them for Joshua's wedding. And I like the brand. They serviced me well, and I was needing some, and went to a thrift store. And lo and behold, that same brand, my size, was up there on the.
Amen.
And to be content with that.
Amen.
And to give God the glory for it.
Right.
Where's your focus? What are you able to do? The love of money or that He provides? I gotta be careful here. There have been people that come through this building that's not content with what was fed them from the people of this building. They look down upon it. I heard it with my own ears. I heard the person with my own ears look down upon it. They didn't want our people to serve him, wanted his family to serve him. Like we wasn't good enough. I think he lost his focus.
Right.
Instead of being thankful to God for his provision.
Amen.
Not only the provision of the person that actually stirred it up, put it together and baked it or fried it or whatever, but the provision of the husband that went to work by God, giving him a job to earn the paycheck. See, there's a thing here, but focus. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And the focus there is our love. If any man love the world, and the love of the Father is not in him. So our love should be, again, on things above.
Amen.
That's in 1 John 2. If you'll turn to 1 John 3, we'll just go through a couple of scriptures here. Pay attention here. 1 John 3, verse number 1, behold. That means to stop and look. Stop, look, and consider. Not just look and passing by, but look and think about it. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God.
Amen.
Here's one of those therefores again. Because of his love for you, you dirty rotten sinner.
Yep.
And me, a dirty rotten sinner. And the fact that he, through his love, sending his son, and our belief in his son, has now made us a son of God.
Amen.
What?
Yep.
John chapter 1 tells you that too. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Okay, so is our focus above, or our focus down on the world? As a son of God, it should be above. Because what we shall be.
Amen.
Not what we are. Yeah, we got broken down bodies. We got diseased bodies. We got... the flesh that we deal with. We're going to get with that in a second. I'm going to try to hurry. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. Okay. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself as he is pure.
Amen.
Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for the sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. He that, even as he is righteous. Again, that's where our focus is.
Right.
It's on him.
Right.
His righteousness, his example. They were first called Christians at Antioch. Why? Because they followed his example.
Amen.
They spoke like him. They dressed like him. They walked like him. They talked like him.
Amen.
He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, and it goes that positional thing we talked about the other night, in this, that verse number 9, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Which brings us to, hold your place there in John. You just hang right there and I'll be back. You know the scripture here in Matthew chapter 24. Let's see here. Nope, Matthew chapter 22. The Pharisee, verse 34, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer. Now, what was the law that this was a lawyer for? It was the religious law.
Right.
Moses' law.
Yep.
He knew it inside down. Andrew's in law school, and he said, "Dad, I have so much reading." And of course, there's all kinds of different law. There's family law. There's elder law. There's real estate law. There's all kinds of different fields in the law field. This guy was a lawyer of the religious field.
Right.
He asked him a question, tempting him, saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." And again, if we'll do that, well, it'll lead to the second one. And both of these, everything hangs on. We're going to read that. That's the first. There's where our focus should be, first. And then, to that extent, loving Him with all of our soul, our heart, our soul, and our mind. Can we say our focus is right? Can we say that we love Him with all? That's a big word. That's a big three-letter word right there. All our heart. Where is your affections? Yes, it's right to love your parents. It's right to love your spouse. It's right to love your children. We're going to see that in Luke here in a second. About hating. But again, it's a focus here. So, this is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In Luke chapter 14 is the opposite. I mean, again, Christ is talking to, you know, a test, Mr. Schofield says in his notes, a test of our discipleship. But Luke chapter 14, let's see here. Is it Luke? Yep. Never mind, I'm in Mark. No wonder. Can't find it. I said, it's not looking right here. Didn't turn far enough. Luke chapter 14 and verse 25. "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate." What? This is not the love message. This is Jesus' words. It is about love, but it's about loving Him first.
Amen.
"If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple."
Yep.
Where's your focus? Where's the focus of your affection? It says you cannot be His disciple unless you hate all these things. And he's not saying not to love your mom and daddy. He's not saying not to love your wife.
Right.
What he's saying here is, I have to be first.
That's right. Amen.
If my spouse is lost, and I'm lost, and the Lord's dealing with me about salvation, I can't think about what my spouse and our relationship is. I've got to think about what the Lord did for me and put my faith and trust in Him and His shed blood. The fact that He died for our sins according to the Scriptures.
Amen.
He was buried and on the third day and raised again on the third day according to the Scriptures as the gospel message. And there's where we have to put our faith in. And I don't know if you've used what I used down at camp, but Brother Heffington in our revival took it another step. He said, the difference between head faith and heart faith, which I dealt with, is that the commitment, and I preached on commitment last week, I can have faith in this solid chair. There's my head faith.
Yep.
It's a good sturdy chair. We went down to Mississippi and got these years ago. It's got good solid construction. Now, will it hold my 200 and none of your business pounds up? There's my head faith. I think that it can. I have a head faith that it can. But I don't trust it with my heart until I commit myself to it. Brother Heffington said, I can say, yes, I believe, but not until I go and fully commit myself to it.
That's right.
There's where the heart faith comes in.
That's right.
And there's what you got to believe in Jesus. I believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. Been taught that all my life. I believe that the Bible teaches us around the Christmas story. You're having a Christmas play practice. Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. I believe that God is Jesus Christ.
Right.
Jesus Christ is God. I and my Father are one. I believe that because I've been taught that in my head.
Right.
I believe, we're talking about Easter time. I believe that He died, according to the Scriptures. He died for my sins, according to the Scriptures. Heard that all my life.
Amen.
He died on the for my sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and He raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. I believe that with my head. But it's not until you say, Father, I'm a sinner.
Yep.
Repentance toward God.
Yep.
And put your faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Lord, I'm asking You to put Your blood on my sins.
Amen.
And wash me and cleanse me and make me fully and make me as white as snow.
Amen.
And commit yourself to Him. When Logan called and said that he had gotten saved, you're talking about shouting time in the living room in Oklahoma. I'm just telling you now. But he said, Papaw, he said something along the lines of Papaw. He said, I finally got to the place where I realized that salvation was only in Jesus Christ. He totally committed himself to what Christ did for him.
Amen.
And that's what you got to do as a sinner.
Exactly right.
Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. See, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Well, you got that. So then I said 1 John. So let me grab this one. 1 John 4. 15 and 16. I know what time it is. In my place, 12:30 is my normal getting out time. And they're used to it. And we've got 3 minutes. First John 4, 15. Now back up. 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know, and I'm in the wrong place. I'm in 5:4. Whew. Get it right, Douglas. Back up. There we go. 15. 1 John 4, am I in the right place? 4:15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Keep reading. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Let's go ahead and grab the next two. If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this is commandment. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Let's grab the next one. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God.
Amen.
And everyone that loveth him that beget loveth him also that is begotten of him. Talking about the love of the brethren, and that's how we know that the world knows that we're his disciples is loving our brethren. But again, we can focus on the brethren, but it really all goes back to our love for God first, the first commandment. and then loving our neighbors ourselves. We can go on to loving our enemies. What? We're supposed to love our enemies too? Yes, the Bible says to love our enemies too. How can we love our enemy? I remember, I know Pastor Shepherd has preached through the Beatitudes. Brother Hall, right after I first moved up here in 1991, shortly thereafter, he preached through the Beatitudes. One of the things that when he was dealing with the Beatitudes, he said, this is kind of like a ladder. You're not going to get, you are not going to get to verses 11 and 12 without first going through 3 through 10.
Right.
You're just not.
That's right.
Or 10, 11, and 12. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake rejoice and be exceeding glad. What? How can I rejoice and be exceeding glad when I'm persecuted by my enemy, by my adversary, because of God's love? Because my focus on God and His commandments and what God wants me to do and how He wants me to love Him.
That's right.
And my neighbor and my enemy.
Yep.
That's it takes a while to get there, but you're going to have to, I mean, the ultimate, this is the end of these Beatitudes. This is the top of the ladder, if you want to put it that way, but you got to climb the ladder to get there. It doesn't come to a baby in Christ. No, baby in Christ, the flesh is going to say, what? But when he says, if he smites you on the cheek, turn the other cheek also.
Right.
You're talking about some grace.
Right.
Have some grace.
Amen.
But that's what God wants us to do. Our focus. So many other places here. So Galatians chapter 5. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2 real fast. We can say loving mammon. We already kind of hit that a lick. The love of money is the root of all evil. And we're not supposed to love mammon, serve mammon. But let's go to 2 Timothy 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Here's an example. Why? For men shall be lovers, say their affections, lovers of their own selves. That's where your affection is. That's where the world's affection is. Lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures. The world and the things of the world. Pleasures. More than lovers of God. They're unfocused, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. There's some religious folk. They go to church. They go to church regularly. They love their things. They love their pleasures. It's easier for them not to be in the house of God when the house of God is supposed to be convening.
Yep.
I got other things to do.
Yep.
All right? You got to focus. Let's see. For of this sort are they which creep in houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Let's see on down here. Doctrine, long-suffering, charity. Let's go to verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ, there's your focus, in Christ Jesus, shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And that's not really one to go to. Really quick, Galatians chapter 5. And I won't read all this. Galatians 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. And so, again, our affections, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So the love of God will allow you to walk in the Spirit, and you're going to not focus on the flesh, you know, and the lust of the flesh. And it talks about that right here, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would, but if ye be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, again, if we focus on the things, the world, the things of the world, we focus on our flesh, and the lust thereof, then these are some things that's going to be made manifest. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you, in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Whew. But I'm glad it don't stop there.
Amen.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's one of the things we're going to do. The Spirit working in us properly, we're going to put the things of the flesh away. We're going to love God like we're supposed to love God, because the Spirit is going to direct us in that way. And we're going to love our neighbor as ourselves, and we're going to love our enemies.
That's right.
And we're going to love our brother.
Right. Because
that's the new commandment.
Right.
Is to love your brother.
Yep.
That's the ones in here. You know, the ones on this side of the auditorium loving the ones on this side of the auditorium. The ones on these sides loving people in the middle.
Right.
People in the middle loving these guys.
But
the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the, here's the word, with the affections and lust. You name the name of Christ. You put your faith in Him. You say, I love God because He first loved me. He loved me enough to send His Son to die for me, and I've put my faith into salvation in Him. But how are you showing your love back to Him?
Amen.
Are you continuing to walk in the flesh and that list there? Or are you allowing the Spirit to work in you that is manifesting the fruit of His Spirit?
Right.
Are you crucifying the flesh and the affections of the flesh? The affections of the flesh. You know I could lose some weight. And I know I've done got the stink eye from Elizabeth when I went to the dessert table this week. It's an affection of the flesh. I like the sweet stuff. I really like the savory stuff more than the sweet stuff, but every now and then I get the sweet stuff. But sometimes when you go on these diets, and I know there's people in here, you have to just say, nope. That's crucifying the flesh. That's saying, no, I'm not going to. Yes, I'm drawn to that. I long for that. But you can do it. You can do it in your power when we go on these diets, but you can do it in the power of God.
Amen.
If you allow Him to effectually work in you. So, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. I have maybe a couple other places, but that's good. Have we lost our focus? Do we love our brethren like we're supposed to? Are we saying, well, brother so-and-so could do better? Well, wait a minute. Yes, maybe they could. But like I said the other night, and like I say out there, my people just probably getting tired of it. Get that mirror out and the magnifying glass. And let's look at ourselves. Yes, your brother may have a little speck, a little splinter in his eye, but you're not seeing the mote that's in yours. Get the mirror out, look in the mirror and say, nope, not going to look. I'm going to love my brother, but I need to get right with me. Is my focus right? You will love your brother right if your focus on God is right. You will love your neighbor right if your focus on God is right. You will love your enemies right if your love for God is right.
Amen.
Are we out of focus? Are we out of tune? Or are we out of focus? Let's just wrap them up together. This morning is a time that you can get back in tune and back in focus.
Amen.
And if we will live every aspect of our life with our focus on God. Will God be pleased with me if I do this?
Right.
Is this God's will for my life?
Right.
And focus on God.
Amen.
And His affection toward you, like we've heard from this pulpit before, Brother Larry Raines, God loves us too much to do us wrong, and He's too wise to make a mistake. If we will focus on God's love for us, our love for Him, and His will for us, and our wanting to do His will,
Amen.
Everything else will take place.
Yep.
We just got to get back in focus.
So
that's the message. I have a song of invitation. Have the musicians come. If the Lord's spoken to you about getting in tune or in focus, the altars are open. You know they are.
Amen.
Today, we gave that example. I really wasn't going to go there, but I did. You've got that head knowledge. You know you're a sinner. You know all the things that God has done for you. I mean, it's been preached to you ever since you were little. You know all those things.
Yep.
Here.
Yep.
But you've never fully committed your life to Him.
That's right.
For salvation.
Right.
He's the only one that can save. In Him alone. So many people have said, and I have a man in my church that says, so many people are going to miss heaven by about 18 inches.
Yep.
You believe here,
yep.
But you got to believe here.
Right.
And then child of God is, you are a child of God, but you're allowing the love and the lust of the flesh to continue to make you live unrighteousness. So in living in unrighteousness, that's not expressing a love for the God that saved you, that loved you and gave His Son for you.
Right.